From RunAsRadio.com, you're listening to Run As Radio, the internet audio talk show for IT professionals with Richard Campbell. This is Brandon Wen announcing show number 466, SQL Server 2016, with guest Brent Ozar. Recorded Monday, March 14th, 2016. Run As Radio is produced each week by Pwop Productions, providing professional media and podcasting services online at pwop.com. You can follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/runasradio.
Thank you, Brandon. This is Richard Campbell, and thanks for listening to Run As Radio. My guest today is Brent Ozar, who's a Microsoft Certified Master and a Microsoft SQL Server MVP. He offers consulting and training through BrentOzar.com, and Brent has a decade of broad IT experience, including management of multi-terabyte data warehouses, storage area networks, and virtualization. He speaks at technology conferences around the world and co-authored the book Professional SQL Server 2008 Internals and Troubleshooting. Welcome back, sir.
It's good to be back, man. Great, especially in this day and age. Yeah. Everything is changing.
It's all an adventure. And we're all going to be together. I mean, I realize I haven't had you on the show proper, like, for a couple of years now, because you're always in the SQL Q&A shows I do at Dev Intersection, or SQL Intersection, sorry.
It's okay to be with you virtually. It's much better to be able to hug you in person.
Well, we always have so much fun on those I think that comes across in the show.
I think so.
There's a certain level of silliness there, but I mean...
There's a whole level of goofing off that you can do in person, you know, when you can see the other person's poker face. You can know exactly how far you can push it.
Well, and the audience at SQL Intersection really goes for right? Like, well, who's the lady who said something dreadful about something she did with a log and it said, no judging? And we're all like, yep, no judging. Let's just deal with the issue. No judging.
Sure, whatever. Yeah, we're all going to make fun of you afterwards. Yes.
Just don't do it in my face. That's all.
Yes. Yeah. And it's fun because we get to judge each other. You know, me, Paul, Kim up there all on the same stage. We get to make fun of each other constantly. It's so much fun.
We have Paul's beautiful slide of 100 things about SQL Server.
Yes, most of which we can assign to Kimberly.
Most of the time. Well, it's a great pointing fest. The moment somebody asks a question, that it's who's pointing at us, they're all pointing at Brent. I guess it's you.
Yes, yes. Starting clocks to see how long each of us take, you know, when we do our answers.
Oh, yes. The short answer is, that's what Kim always leads with, is just asking for trouble. It's just a mistake.
And then the clock starts 7 minutes later. So to recap the short answer, yes.
And she did the whole thing without even taking a breath, too. So it's not like she was lollygagging in her answer.
And, you know, so like when I try to give an answer to something, my mouth cannot keep up with my brain.
Right.
You know, it's one of those real blah, 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 blah. She's crystal clear the whole time she's talking.
Yeah.
She's able to coordinate all of that.
But at velocity. It's
yes.
Something.
High velocity.
Yeah, if you're listening, come out to SQL Intersection. The next one is coming up in Orlando, and it's in April 14 to 18.
Yeah, and, the Walt Disney World Swan Resort.
Yes.
I am ready for that.
Very nice. And I'm already working on some of the detail items for the fall show last week of October in Vegas.
I thought you were going to say costumes.
No, not working on that. But we got Brad Anderson coming out for a keynote. So,
nice.
Yeah, so, you know, the fun thing about SQL Server is there's clearly a dev side of SQL Server and an operations or an IT side of SQL Server. You know, it lives in both worlds. And and so I feel like we're finally beefing up the IT side of the show.
Well, and the people who work with SQL Server come from both of those.
You know, whenever
I talk to database administrators, either you're a developer or you're sysadmin, but you end up having to learn about the other. You know, the dev guys have to learn about Windows or now as it is Linux.
What?
Insane. For any of you who haven't heard, SQL Server is coming to Linux in mid-2017. So it's going to run, you know, live weather reports from Hades as hell freezes over with this. This is insane to me. That's so incredible. I just never thought I would see the day where SQL Server would come to Linux.
Now, I mean, admittedly, it came from the Unix world, right? The original Sybase that Microsoft started with.
OS2 as well ran along the way. It's like a coming home of sorts.
Yeah.
I mean, it's incredible. I just can't even believe it.
I can't. Yeah. It's hard to think from a political perspective. And then from a technological perspective, you think about how much optimization since SQL 7, since the big rewrite.
Yeah.
That was Windows focused.
Part of me wonders if, you know, I always come up with these oddball scenarios in my head. Part of me thinks that there's a bunch of SQL Server guys sitting in a closet somewhere at Microsoft that are going, you know what? If those pesky Windows guys weren't holding us back, we could go even faster.
Right.
You know, or other things that you think about, like, well, maybe there's all these Penguin guys who just can't wait to get their hands on SQL Server. There's got to be some really interesting discussions going around now that, I mean, it's the same as opening up some of the Office apps to iOS first before anything else. It's just groundbreaking, incredible time to be in Microsoft. And if you would have asked me back, you know, 3, 4, or 5 years ago, people were terrified of the cloud. People have been terrified of virtualization along the way. This is just one of those amazing new opportunities that you get where you get to use your skills in a new way. And as long as you love to learn, it's a great time to be in databases.
Yeah, there's always new things going on. And of course, they're not talking about the Linux edition until 2017. And then the upcoming version of SQL Server is closer than that, right? Do we have a ship date for 2016?
So we still don't have a ship date. We still don't have pricing. We still don't have feature breakdowns by edition. It seems like you could almost list more of the things that we don't know than the things that we do know. But I don't envy the SQL Server developers because the guys who have to work on the product, there are an unbelievable laundry list of new stuff that's coming in the box. And I'm sure that they're just sitting there behind their keyboards going, please let this go into standard. Please let this go into standard. Please let this go into standard. Because you got to want as many people as possible to touch the cool new features that you put out. And there are some awesome new stuff coming. So there's I'm not a BI guy, but you know, now you can do Revolution Analytics inside the database. You get Polybase, so you can query Hadoop from inside the database. There's stretch tables to Azure, so you can have some of your tables, you know, down on premises and then some of them upstretched up into Azure. If you're into those kinds of things, that's an awesome release for you. If you're not into those, like I'm really big into Query Store. It's a brand new thing that just continuously tracks what queries are using the most resources on your SQL Server. And then whenever one changes, whenever it, you know, falls off a cliff, has horrific performance, you can see it really quickly in a dashboard and you can step back to the query plan that it used to have.
Oh, wow.
Oh, it's great because so many of us, even those of us who buy monitoring tools, often dirty little secret, we don't know how to work them.
First talk I ever did at TechEd a million billion years ago was understanding SQL Server Profiler because you're exactly right. Everybody owns this tool. Nobody knows how to use it.
Yes. Free in the box.
Yeah.
You know, and it's nice that stuff like Query Store now, this has a GUI built into SQL Server Management Studio. It's easy to use. And it's just there. I keep crossing my fingers, hoping and praying that we're going to get it in standard edition because this is really something that will make a difference for databases, database admins, and developers everywhere, you know, learning how to use the basics on this. The data is captured inside your user databases, so it's just there ready for you whenever you want to go do performance tuning. Because the really tough problem with performance tuning is, sure, it's slow today, but what did it look like yesterday when it was going fast? Why is it different? What did the query plan look like? What was the index change or statistics change that made it better or worse? And we don't have that time machine. That's what Query Store is. It's phenomenal. I have a bet going with our Jenis Fernandez out of Pure Storage that I have $500 saying that it's only going to be available in Enterprise Edition, aka Expensive Edition, because that's just seems like where a lot of the good stuff goes. And he bet $500 that it's going to be in Standard as well. And then we're giving the results to charity to his Doctors Without Borders campaign.
Nice.
So everybody wins regardless, but it's so much fun to have these bets.
Now, I have heard that, and actually I just found the blog post on it, that SQL Azure now has the Query Store feature available too.
Yeah, this is why I get one of the reasons I get excited about Azure, you know, being the guinea pig for stuff. Azure SQL DB really is kind of the next version of SQL Server.
Right.
And they've had it up there for a while. It's totally useful there too. You know, it's like the luxury of having monitoring software up there. Because you face the same performance problems up in the cloud that you do on premises.
But there's another dozen excuses for why it was slow. Because it's not your hardware now. It's not your network now. You know, there's all kinds of things. You know, the cynical IT guy in me says, I love the cloud. It gives me somebody else to blame.
Yes. And I'm sorry. I'm doing the best I can. But that cloud provider,
goodness
gracious. Yeah. It's not my problem.
But it's also interesting to think that like much of the rest of Microsoft now, the SQL team seems to be using the cloud as their proving ground for obviously cloud stuff. And they're sort of continuously delivering features there. And then at some point, they declare a version on-prem. They grab all that feature set and they start the heavy-duty testing it takes to run it on everybody's hardware. Uh-huh. And you get a new version of your product.
I love it so much because it really is easier for them to patch and iterate there. You know, if they find a bug in Query Store, they can iterate over it so much quicker than once you do with a box product. It's a pain in the rear to get people to apply updates. They don't want to take a downtime.
Yeah.
You know, just, go iterate quickly up in Azure SQL DB. And it's also a carrot and a stick kind of thing for them as well. They can say, hey, if you want these cool features, you can come get them right now up in the cloud. They're available for you.
They're just over here, right?
Yep.
But, when you were first talking about what it's like to be a developer on SQL Server, I was thinking, well, here's this, there's only certain sort of special teams at Microsoft. Like, generally speaking, the development tools team and so forth, they've all adopted the new tooling, new techniques. They're all good with this stuff. Windows team, Office team, SQL team. Have been always like the big three. They make a lot of money. They're very important to the company. Their code bases are old, like they've been around a long time. And it's just us, like people say, you should open source Windows. Like, do you have any idea how utterly impossible that is?
Oh, man. And it just the sheer length of time it would take to go through that would be horrific.
Oh, yeah. And just the build process. How do you build it, right?
Yeah. The benefits just aren't there.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I also look at, I'm really thankful, and it's weird that I would say this, and I think about it all the time, which sounds really bizarre from a geek perspective, but I think about all the time how thankful I am that the SQL Server team is as conservative as they are.
Right.
We get different feature names sometimes, things change a little bit from version to version, but it's so rare that you go, well, we got to relearn everything.
Yeah.
Everything's thrown out from scratch.
Yeah.
All new APIs. It's the same language. It's the same file format. We have predictable upgrade processes. Yeah, we don't get ground up from scratch rewrites,
nope.
Like a lot of other, tools will get. But man, this stuff is so stable, relatively speaking. It's so nice to know that I can take somebody who hasn't touched a new version of SQL Server in the last several years.
Yes.
Bring them into a shop with 2016 and go check this out. Here's what it looks like. And they'll still be just as effective. They can still get their job done.
And at the same time, and we've seen this in those SQL Q&As, it is often hard to justify an upgrade.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
My database is working and I understand it. Why would I mess with this?
I don't envy Microsoft at all there, because this is the curse and blessing of building a really stable product that works really well. It's hard to get people to move forward. And so I get excited about stuff like R analytics, the Polybase stuff,
right.
The stretch table to Azure. But I got to know it's going to be a while before a lot of people adopt those. Same thing with SQL Server on Linux for that matter. But at least they continue to iterate. This is where it's also interesting that there's two new kinds of features in the box in 2016. There's the really new radical stuff, the R and Polybase, that'll take people a long time to adopt. If they ever do,
right.
Who knows? It's a total dice roll.
It's really, that's a new initiative in your organization to start getting into machine learning.
Yes. Different people. It's a different customer base, inside your company.
It's a different skill set.
And then there's the other kind of new features. They've got all kinds of security stuff coming in, better performance. They keep touting how it's faster out of the box. And based on what I've seen, I really do believe in that. Where you're really just flipping a few switches for a lot of code that's been in the engine for a long time to begin with, but it was just obscured under things like trace flags that were hard to get to.
Right, right.
I should probably, as an expert, be less enthusiastic about this, because now it's easier for more people to get it. But, of course, that's what it's all about, is moving forward, making things really easy for brand new people to just get safer stuff out of the box. It's hard to look at the clock and imagine this, but it's the year 2016. And until now, databases were still growing by 1 megabyte at a time as a default.
And we were all about turn off the auto grow and so forth, define your spaces, is the most floss your teeth statement
that
SQL people ever say.
Yes. It's things that just don't make sense that you shouldn't have to mess around with. And it kind of made SQL Server a little bit less approachable. You know, you mm-hmm. felt like there were these secret arcane things you had to master. And now it's just better out of the box. You know, just a lot of the setups defaults are more sane for the year 2016 for the crazy horsepower of server that we have going into them.
Yeah, that was always my SQL Server's claim to fame compared to every other database. It's like there wasn't this cliff of knowledge you need to have to get started. You could gradually get into it. You were going to do some ugly things along the way that would work at least for a while, but at least it wasn't just no.
Yeah, you take the Oracle other extreme. I get frustrated when Oracle shops will say, oh, why is SQL Server so unreliable? You know, and they've got 50, 60, 100 SQL Server instances and no DBA. And they'll turn around and compare it to Oracle and say, see how reliable this is. And there's one Oracle server and there's two guys preening over it, you know, like full-time Oracle DBAs. Like, well, yeah, if you devote that much manpower per server, it's always, you know, going to be amazing.
At least you would hope.
Oh, yeah. Yes. If I had two people dressing me every morning, sure, I would look way better.
I would look awesome.
Yes.
Hey, Brian, give me 1 second to pay the bills because this episode of Run As Radio is brought to you by the IT Edge Intersection Conference, part of the Dev Intersection group of conferences, which also includes SQL Intersection. IT Edge brings together some of the best speakers in the world on Windows, SharePoint, SQL Server, and more, including Scott Guthrie, Mark Manassi, Jeffrey Snover, Kimberly Tripp, Brent Ozar, and Bill Baer. The next conference is in Orlando at the Walt Disney World Swan, April 16th to 22nd. Register today at devintersection.com and include the code RUNASRADIO for a discount.
I think it's a really good time to attend conferences, too. I mean, this is the point where the features are baked.
Yep.
You can get people who are playing around with it and using it. And so you can start going back to your organization and say, here's where the new features make sense for us. Here's where they don't. Mm-hmm. It's still going to be really 2 years before people have good hands-on stories that can go into deep details about exactly how a feature performs at scale.
For sure.
You know, that's still going to be a ways out.
And part of that is just like, I would never upgrade a SQL Server anymore, even on-prem. It's when that hardware needs to be rotated out that I would get new hardware, new version, do a migration. And that might be a year or two.
Uh-huh. Especially with as good as today's hardware is.
Yeah.
I mean, you and I have talked about hardware in the past. It's ridiculous how good hardware is right now. And the whole evolution of solid state drives has been spectacular.
Yeah.
Now is one of those great times where you say, all right, I went to solid state drives 2-3 years ago. I'm running low on capacity today. Now's the time where I start going NVMe or, you know, going to something that's even faster.
Yeah, really the next generation stuff. But plus part of me, you know, I think you probably still have this radar too. You can smell when stuff's been running for too long, right?
Yeah.
Certainly
yeah.
spinning drives. It's like, hey, we're coming on 3 years. It's time for me to start thinking. And this, you know, the enterprise SSD 3-4 years ago was brand new.
Yes, it was.
We should be coming into that wave of failure now.
Yes. Yeah. So if people went really early in, you know, in the PCI Express drives went all in. Now is a good time to look. I'm always wondering, too, about what the upgrade cycle will look like for folks, because I know a lot of people out there are still running 2008 and 2008 R2.
Yep.
They looked at 2012 and went, all right, there's availability groups, but it's brand spanking new. I'm not so sure I'm going to, you know, jump on that train.
I'm not dismantling my DR strategy today. Thanks.
Yeah. 2014 came in. It's more mature. 2016 now at this point with all these technologies, several customers that I've talked to have said, well, all right, I skipped 2012 and 2014. 2016 is going to be the version that I've decided I'm going to land on. Wow. I'm going to roll with from there.
Which means their hardware is probably 5-6 years old.
Oh, yeah. 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 Yeah, which is ancient for SQL Server, given how much the honking thing costs per core.
Well, and that's when, you know, why did they skip 2012? Because per core.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's how that conversation started. They weren't prepared to do the right sizing to make it make economic sense. And it's just like, you know what? Let's wait.
And you saw so many people going, I bet it's going to be different. I bet Microsoft is going to change their tune.
Right. They're going to back off on this.
Licensing. Yeah. And so now, I've heard, you know, Windows Server 2016 now is on per core licensing. What are you hearing out in the field from people when they react to that?
Well, it's just like, I'm with you. It's been 8 years now. Uh-huh. They're not backing off.
Yeah.
So now, and in this was the problem, right? I mean, certainly, I mean, in 2012, we heard the screams. Because if you were running AMD servers with all those cores per socket, you tripled the price of your licensing. And you're like, this is crazy talk. But you didn't know if it was being well utilized or not. And it was a justification for better hardware. Because as you moved up to those later editions of the Intel processors, they just did more per core.
Yeah.
And so you could, you know, you could balance that number of cores versus license cost thing fairly well.
It'll be really interesting to see if a new wave of sysadmins comes out that really pays more attention to per core performance and licensing. Because Windows admins have had it really lucky.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been great as a Windows admin. Just get the most number of cores you can, you know, given the dollar cost of the processor.
Yeah.
But now it's the Windows admins are going to have to make the same tough choices that we made as SQL Server DBAs. Do I really want those extra cores?
Yeah. Well, we're old enough to remember when it was going to go multi-socket, right?
Yeah. You know,
and it's the thing is the symmetry is pretty good. It was around 2000 that we really started seeing multi-socket servers becoming normal and the licensing costs going up there. And now, and then 8 years after that, they went to socket licensing for a reason. They wanted to encourage core growth. Because around that 2000, 2001 timeframe was when the single CPU ran out of steam and the Intel changed their design. AMD was all over that and off we went into multi-core. And so I think Microsoft and others did the right thing licensing per socket. But it's over now. There are no single core, number of sockets is irrelevant. Like, that's just not a conversation anymore.
It'll be so interesting as the Linux thing approaches in 2017 to see how that gets licensed. Because some of the folks that I talk to say, you know, clearly they're targeting Oracle.
Yep.
They gave the free licensing upgrade away. For folks who haven't heard, it's Microsoft will give Oracle refugees, I like to call them, free licensing. Now, they have to pay software assurance once they arrive at the refugee camp. But you get free software licensing during your exodus there. It's got to be – the whole SQL Server on Linux thing has to be targeting the Oracle people who aren't as price sensitive as the MySQL users, the Postgres users.
Yeah.
So I'm curious.
This was always the joke with Microsoft. You know, everybody used to go after Microsoft for being the evil empire. Mm. And then there was Oracle. And it's like
–
And I was – the way I described Oracle's licensing strategy, having had to buy some stuff from them, was it was the so how much money have you got model.
Yes. Yes.
And you had to redo that every year.
Oh, man. I couldn't believe the first time we were going to look at moving from SQL Server to Oracle. And my boss brought in the Oracle folks and they would not enter our premises, wouldn't come on premises because our P&L wasn't large enough to merit the sale. And that really, I was like, okay, all right. That's a different kind of sales model. I wasn't really, didn't know software worked like that.
And clearly it's worked for them.
Oh, by far. Yeah. Larry and his private island in Hawaii.
Yeah. And it's worked for Larry anyway. Actually, I mean, one of the things I've noticed about Oracle, and I think Microsoft suffered this for a while too, is the most of the senior leadership has made so much money, they're just not that interested in the company anymore.
Wait a minute here. Someone who has a small business, I'm not sure that's such a good idea for me to hear. I look forward to those days, but yes.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not that guy either. I'm pretty happy being a small independent business person working on stuff that matters to me.
Yeah. And we face the same challenges in our company. I go, all right, we're building stuff and I'm going to put the data somewhere. Where do I want to put it? Man, Azure SQL DB is really compelling for me. It's just the simple entry forward, low initial cost and you're out of there. I get why people go in the beginning.
Totally. Well, from Greenfield, but this stretch table to Azure feature in SQL 16, I think this is your hybrid solution. This is your path forward. You don't have to make a big leap.
I'm jaded, and every time Microsoft renews my MVP, I'm super thankful and I salute them because they're just wonderful people. But sometimes I say bad things about features. This is going to be one of those times.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
So stretch database to Azure. So say that you take just to make the number simple, say you take a 100 gig table and the 70 gigs of that is archived that you're going to go push up into Azure. The way that it is right now, that data has to be completely cold, meaning you don't expect any updates or deletes to those rows. If you're going to do updates or deletes, you have to bring that stuff back on down to on-premises before you can make those changes to it.
Right. Okay. So this is not a hybrid solution. This is archiving in the cloud.
purely archiving. Yeah. Updating, and people kind of understand, well, that it's supposed to be cold if I'm keeping it in that cold storage. But this also means you can't alter the table. You can't add an index. I mean, this is really hardcore. You are going to commit to having that data up there, or else you're pulling 70 gigs of data back down.
So this is very cold.
Yeah.
This is not reportable cold.
No. I'll give it, if you are have your primary SQL servers up in somebody's cloud, whether it's Azure VMs, AWS VMs, whoever you're using, then the bandwidth isn't as much of a deal, but you still spend egress money. You know, sure. It still costs money to drag stuff in and out of somebody's cloud. So I love the idea, but I think they've got to get the update delete story solid. They've got to get the alter table story solid before people are really going to embrace it.
Are we really saying V1 again? Is that what this is? Is a V1 away for V3?
Yeah, it's so sad. But I truly believe in this feature. This is why the cloud is here.
Right.
You know, it's the same thing that Windows admins like to use for cold file storage. Mm-hmm. The cloud is so good for this kind of use case.
Well, and so this is also a solution to the reporting side of things.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Yeah. And it make backup and recovery is easier. Mm-hmm. You know, it just gets a little tricky if you want to recover it down on premises. You're talking about additional works there. But I believe in where they're going. Same thing with the R and Polybase stuff that they're putting in. Same thing with the always encrypted stuff that they're putting in, you know, making it easier for developers to just land things as encrypted by default and not worry about it. Man, it's just like this reinvigorating release where all kinds of things are coming in that I don't believe in using out of the gate. You know, it is very much V1, and I'm, you know, not wild about how some of them are implemented. But long term, I think we're going to look back at this and go, this is when Microsoft started really investing in the Box product again and gets a lot of on-premises guys excited.
Right. And, this, you know, this accelerates the rate of development. I mean, over on the dev side, we're talking about the Azure teams pushed out something like 500 features in 2015. And we're all just gasping for air trying to sort them, much less understand them. But I wonder if we're going to see a surge in SQL development.
I gotta think so. I mean, I look at what people are putting in. Always encrypted is a great example.
Yes.
It's a neat, and same thing with row level security. Dynamic data masking is another one. There's all these features that just help make it easier for you to build safe apps by default. Mm-hmm. Please, Lord, let people put my personal data in something that's encrypted and secure, you know, the one thing everybody always wants. I think the more that...
But I also like that this is coming sort of from a governance and policy perspective that the operations people are implementing. You're not insisting that developers, quote, do it right. You're saying, hey, nothing stores on this system that isn't encrypted. There's just no other option. That's what happens.
And when I get it out, you know, when you go to expose it to reporters, that the operations guys can have some level of control over what they see and how they see it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's excellent. That addresses things that we really, truly need. These are real world pain points.
Sure.
I'm sure people are going to argue about the execution of them. Nothing's ever perfect when it comes to security features.
Yeah.
You know, passionate, wild debates about that. But now this just means that a lot of developers don't have to go Google, hit Stack Overflow around how do I encrypt my passwords?
Right.
You know, how do I make sure that people don't see social security numbers? And just make it easier to be built into the Box where people can use it by default. That's just excellent.
Declarative security elements. Yeah, I mean, certainly my philosophy, having talked to lots of security people over the years, is like you're still dealing with the club scenario. The club does not make your car impossible to steal. It just makes it less convenient to steal than the next guy's car. So hopefully the opportunist doesn't bother with you.
Yeah. And it's a tough thing. I'm also really excited that it would appear that with Azure SQL Database, they're saying basically the security features are everywhere. Mm-hmm. You can get it no matter what you pay.
Right.
Now, this is a contrast to what we've always had in the Box product. We've always had the problem where security was enterprise only.
Right.
So this makes it so interesting when we talk about 2016, what the features are going to break down by addition. This gives me really high hope that this secure by default piece is going to trickle down to on-premises as well.
Yeah, you'd have to think, why in the world would they deny any security features to anybody?
Yeah, especially when you talk about doing any kind of row-level security, showing mm-hmm. data on the way out the door for reporting. There's a lot of people running standard edition and BI edition for their reporting stuff. Yeah. And, you know, how can we make it easy for them to be secure by default?
Yeah, it actually has the confidence of what is going on. So we still don't have a ship date, although we're just a few weeks out of build. Maybe something will be announced there.
Same thing with the still no breakdown on features, breakdown on a licensing, not even a quarter yet. I mean, we don't even have Q3 or Q4. So part of me says, well, that's kind of scary, you know, that they're not giving us a date early in advance. Mm-hmm. But the developer in me goes, I salute them for saying when it's ready, we're going to ship it, but we're not going to give you some BS date and then not ship the quality that we want on that date. Oh, the developer in me says, this is the way it should be done. I'm proud of you. Keep up the good work.
Now, the release candidate for SQL 2016 is out. So we're past beta here. This is getting to be a pretty serious version of the product.
And it's goofy that they kind of say, so it said it's mostly feature complete. Mostly feature complete.
Then it's not a release candidate, folks. Right. What are you doing?
I'm kind of weirded out by that one, too. There's one of the things that we're all really excited about. I say we're all. There's some of us who run always on availability groups.
Right.
Right now on the secondary servers on all your replicas, your redo queue, the thing that's applying the transaction logs, is single-threaded. Mm-hmm. There's just one core involved in doing it. For 2016, that's supposedly going multi-threaded. We're supposed to get parallel multiple cores working simultaneously. And this has been a huge blocker for some shops doing always-on availability groups. In high rates of change, you can get to the point where your replicas can't keep up with the amount of incoming transactions. Well, this is not in RC0. That's a really honking big feature mm-hmm. you know, in terms of something that changes a lot of code. And I get nervous seeing a release candidate that doesn't have that yet.
Because this is just the sort of thing you'd want to be testing.
Right, exactly. So I get a little twitchy and I go, well, please do me one favor. Either don't ship it out of, you know, RC, out of whatever the RTM gold deal is. Hold it for a service pack, maybe, you know, bake it a little longer.
Yep.
Or maybe we're not as close to a release as we thought.
Well, you know, maybe it shows up in RC1 and then we have another couple of months with RC1.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't imagine that we're going to see it in the second quarter. I got to imagine that it's going to be at least Q3 or Q4.
Right.
Assuming that features still aren't coming out in this supposedly or still aren't shipped in the release candidate zero.
Well, and that's the whole point, right? Is I will give me a feature complete set so I can start testing it on my hardware and you can collect all the data from all the people fielding it and putting it out in the field. That's the main thing you want to evaluate.
Yeah. And I like what I've seen out of 2016. I don't have any reservations. I haven't seen any flakiness. Mm-hmm. There's been nothing that gives me any heartburn. You know, been banging around on it a lot in the lab. Totally happy with it. Not worried at all. But I just want to see, once you hit release candidate, that needs to be feature complete.
Feature complete, yeah. Brent, I can't argue with you there. I am looking forward to seeing what this new version does. Thank you so much for spending a half hour with me.
My pleasure. Always love talking to you, man.
You bet. And we'll talk to you next week on Run As Radio.